Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe words have come, prophetic words have come while you're praying. You take those words shortly after this message. I want to quickly conclude what we started last week. Glorious war. Father, we thank you for your word that is about to come. We receive the word of Christ with gladness in our hearts. And this word brings clarity. As we hear the word, we grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior. And we are built up and transformed to the glory of the Father. As we hear your word, launch us into deeper depths in the knowledge of Christ, greater heights in the knowledge of Christ, wider expanses of truth in the knowledge of Christ. Let sickness disappear, amen. Cancer disappear, amen. Tumors disappear, amen. Ovarian cysts disappear, amen. Fibroids disappear, amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So we're going to read a couple of scriptures, a lot of scriptures today. So please get ready to write. Get ready to write. Glorious war. We start from Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, where we, the anchor scripture for last week. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Can we read together? Like an army. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we said last week that to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might means to take the power of God as yours. Is that okay? It means that you look at the power of God, the infinite greatness of his power, and you take that power as yours for your use. Is that okay? So it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sure, that's fine. That's why we have backup. Okay. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench. How many?
All.
Not some. All the fiery darts of the wicked. 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Tell your neighbor, say, glorious war.
Glorious war.
Tell your neighbor, there is a war. For the enemy has been defeated. Last week we were discussing and we came to some conclusions. I'll just give a summary of what we discussed very quickly. We said that the word Paul used for wrestle was used just once in the entire scriptures. Just once. And it does not imply the kind of war you think of. You know, if you were on Twitter this week or this past week, there were several memes about World War III, which would never happen. No, you didn't believe that. The reason why it won't happen is because you're here. You believe that? Do you believe that, Philip? You don't know. Oh, you don't even know what happened. Okay, but do you believe there will be a World War III?
Yes.
No.
As long as we are here, there's no war. There's no war. Because all of the mechanisms, all of the means by which war happens are the the help of the, you know, the devil's army, right? The principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness. If there is a war that happens, it's our fault. Because your job is to dethrone the devil from the heavens of the mind of men. So if the devil is dethroned from Winnipeg, from Canada, from the US, from all over the world, and tied and bound by the church, where is the war going to come from? Tell your neighbor, the word is waiting for deliverance. You are the means by which the Lord brings the deliverance. So you are responsible for the amount of defeat the devil feels in your territory. I didn't say God is responsible. I said you are responsible. That's the word he used for the word wrestle. It's a contest. In the Roman word, that word palae means to bring two people for a game. And the winner is the last man standing. So the duty of the winner is to carry the opponent, put the opponent on the ground, and then put the hand on the neck. When God called us into this warfare, he called us not to fight for victory. He called us to fight on the very grounds of victory. In other words, it was a ground he came to fight on, and then he beat the enemy, defeated the enemy, and called you to fight. You get a picture? So I bring somebody here, I beat up the person, strip the person of power, make the person useless, and then call you to come and take it over from there. That's our kind of warfare. We're not fighting to win the devil. I'm looking at your eyes. We're not fighting to win him. We're fighting to enforce the victory. We're fighting to ingrain the reality of his defeat in his own consciousness. So God did not call you to fight the kind of fight that you don't have hope. The fight is not a 50-50 fight. And that's why in this warfare, there is no such thing as human strength. There is no such thing as human strength. That's why he says, take the power of God for yours, as yours. Go to the chambers of God's heart, take his power, and use his power as yours. That means there is a war, but we do not fight as men. There is a war, but we fight as God. So glorious war is the art of fighting like God. And that's why he says, take on the whole armor of
God.
Come on, talk to me. Take on the whole armor of
God.
Not your armor. What is the armor of God? The armor of God is God himself. The armor of God is Christ. That's why there is nothing in that armor that does not relate with the revelation of Christ as Savior. That's the armor of God. God expects you to fight like God. And the devil is not the opposite of God. The devil is finite compared to God. The devil was created in time, for only God existed before time. The devil is a creature. that got his power from man. Hope you know that. God made the earth and gave you dominion. In other words, the right to operate as the God of the earth, subject to his sovereignty, subject to him alone. And then man gave that authority to the devil. So the means by which the devil had authority to create havoc on the earth was man. The devil is an unemployed angel. So if you want to compare the devil, you compare him with Michael and the others, not with God. Or you're not fighting with the strength of the angels mentioned in the scriptures. You're fighting with the strength of God. Can you see how infinitely hopeless this battle is for the devil? And that's why victory is 100% guaranteed to be enjoyed when you are clothed. So how do we win this? How do we enjoy this victory? We put on God's armor. It didn't say put on the armor and fast for 40 days. Then maybe you will have a chance to win. It didn't say put on the armor and, you know, go to Mount Kilimanjaro and spend 100 days there in solitude. Then maybe you'll be able to win. It says put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. So the armor is the ability. So in God's point of view, no believer has an excuse not to enjoy perfect, total victory. So we are not trying to hold the fort and hide for one day where we'll fly away. I'll fly away. I want to fly away. A lot of people want to fly away. But the world is so dark. Have you ever seen darkness when you have light? Darkness is the absence of light. You turn off the light and there is darkness. You turn on the light, you don't see a battle going on. You say, I am darkness. I am darkness. I refuse to go. There's no argument. We've never seen darkness and light arguing when you turn on the light. That's God's idea and his plan that he wants to realize through you. That you come, I'm looking at Tolu, he comes into his house and he says, I am light. Yes. And then there's no argument. The darkness in his whole apartment goes hiding. That's God's idea of warfare. And I want to show you some things about your adversary very quickly. Tell someone, say, know your adversary. No. It's very good we know the adversary we're talking about. Some of us from Africa, the devil has been so exalted. You know, it was that corny serpent in the garden that became the great dragon in Revelations. So exalted. Exalted in the minds of men. Exercising sway. Men have given him such authoritative, you know, title and respect and honor. More than he deserves. He has been amplified so long. Imagine the church of God focusing on the devil for 365 days. Their messages are about him. Prayer points are about him. You want to eat, it's the devil you focus on. That's what he's looking for. His attention, the attention he gets from the church. It's about time for that attention to be vanquished.
Amen.
Not only that, we'll go to the minds of men and bring it down.
Yes.
Saved, unsaved. That's the nature of your warfare. Whether you are tall or not tall, big or not big, you are enlisted in the battle. Whether you are 15 or 16 or 21 or 30 or 50 or 60, you are in the battle. And the reason why God put children in the battle is to show you that the battle is not by human strength. So know your adversary. Number one, the devil can be resisted. The devil can be resisted. Tell your neighbor, say, the devil can be resisted. I want to establish that very, very quickly. And you look at James 4 from verse 7. I'd like you to read like a soldier. James 4, 7, 1 Peter 5 from verse 8 to 9. James 4, 7, 1 Peter 5 from verse 8. I'll give you about 19. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9, James 4, 7. What's written here? Submit yourselves. What did you do to the devil? Did he say that God will resist the devil for you?
No.
Resisting the devil is the believer's responsibility, not God's. So the devil appears here, maybe through a man, and is trying to exercise power that doesn't have over you. What do you do to him?
Resist.
Come on, talk to me.
Resist.
You complain.
No.
Does he say complain?
No.
What do you do to the devil? You resist the devil. And what will happen? He will flee from you. Number one, the devil can be resisted. 1 Peter 5 from verse 8 to 9. You have the ability to resist the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 8 to 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Steadfast in the faith. It means to continuously resist him. The territories the devil has in any city, any life, any family is proportional to the resistance. The devil can be resisted. So if the devil is so, if his activities are so obvious in a particular territory, what does he tell you? He tells you he has zero resistance. You cannot resist the devil and he will not flee. You cannot resist the devil and he will not flee. He says, resist the devil and he will. So we know something about the devil's character. Number two, he likes to run. He knows how to flee. That means that you can get the devil far away from you. You can keep the devil at bay. Say 2019 was so turbulent. The devil this, the devil that, the devil tried, the devil did this, the devil. You're complaining, this devil will not even let us rest. No, no. Resist the devil and he will flee. To flee is to run, to take off, to disappear. I want you to look at your life and I want you to envision the faith of God in you. You have the ability to stop the activity of the devil wherever you find yourself. You have the ability to end the tyranny of this evil spirit wherever you find yourself. You have the ability to end the tyranny of the devil in Winnipeg. So we have the ability to chase the devil out of town.
Amen.
Hi. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That means that there is no reason to complain about the works of darkness. You are God's answer.
Yes.
When you go to preach to someone and they resist you, what does that tell you? There are strongholds of thoughts. There is a home. The devil has lodged in that mind. What do? You go back, you resist the devil, you pull down those structures, and then you go back and preach to the person. That is the nature of our warfare. Have you ever watched Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Something happens in your neighborhood, who do you call? Ghostbusters. We are heavenly assigned to be supernatural Ghostbusters.
That's right.
I can still see doubts in people's minds. We want to pull down those doubts. The devil knows how to run.
Yes.
See, I'll send the devil packing.
I will send the devil packing.
From my family.
From my family.
I will send the devil packing.
I will send the devil packing.
From my city.
From my city.
I'll send the devil packing.
I will send the devil.
From my territory.
From my territory.
What do you do to the devil? You oppose him.
Yes.
You don't oppose someone you're running from. And that's why in the armor of God, there is no provision for your back. Something for your head, for your chest, for your waist, for your legs, for your hands. Nothing for your back. Your father does not expect you to turn your back on the devil. He knows how to flee. Three, he has no authority. He has no authority over you. The authority of the devil only comes in where believers are not present. So, where does the devil have authority? Where there are no believers. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17 to 21. Luke 10 from verse 18 to 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, can we read that? All
power.
No, Jesus said some power.
All.
The word there is authority. All. Come on, talk to me.
All power.
Now, what does all mean?
Everything.
If I take all from you, what do you have? Simple maths. So if authority, all authority has been given to Jesus, what authority does the devil have?
None.
So the devil has no right to kill anybody on this earth. If you've lost someone to suicide before, you know what I'm talking about. I've experienced two losses, or three losses. All young boys to suicide. That was the devil at work. I have determined that he has no right to do that. Authority is a right and privilege. All power has been given to Jesus in heaven and in
earth.
Who has all authority in the earth?
Jesus.
You're not talking like as though you believe this.
Jesus.
Are you with me? Are you sure? Do you believe? Who has all authority in heaven?
Jesus.
Who has all authority in the earth?
Jesus.
2019 has gone. 2020. Every activity of the enemy in Winnipeg suspended.
Amen.
Last year, we experienced a lot of young people dying. Young students, University of Manitoba, University of Winnipeg. Young students. Some go to parties and they drop dead. Some go to parties and they drown. It ends in 2020.
Amen.
No killings.
Yes.
I was thinking you would say beginning.
Amen.
What happens this year? Massive harvest of souls.
Amen.
Because all power, all authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. This is the authority in the name of Jesus that he gave you. All authority was embedded in that name. Then he gave you his name. So the church has all in
heaven
and in
earth.
Go to the next one, the next scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. We'll just read 19. Well, let's just read it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of
wisdom
and
revelation
in the knowledge of him. 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the covenant,
and
what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
19.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I don't want to go there. 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens. 21. Far above all. How many?
All.
How many?
All.
The word for far above means superseding in rank.
Amen.
Jesus supersedes all principalities in rank. Jesus supersedes all powers in rank. Jesus supersedes all dominions in rank. Jesus supersedes every name that is named, not only in the word, but also in that which is to come. That is the authority in the name of Jesus that he gave to you. That authority supersedes every adversary, known to man and unknown to man. So the devil has how many authority now?
None.
A policeman from Nigeria cannot come and arrest a Canadian in Canada. As powerful as President Buhari is, he cannot come to Canada and say, "Hey, I'm the president of Nigeria. Come, give me your files." They will respectfully kick him out. With respect. Because he doesn't have authority. He has left his realm of authority. The devil cannot come to your life and give you instructions. He can't come to your life and dictate your prayer point. He can't come to your life and mess up your mind. You can't allow him to do that. So what do? Kick him out. He doesn't have the right and the privilege to do that. How many have I given you? The devil has been stripped of power. Hebrews 2:14. This is the fourth one, right? Stripped of power. For as much then as the children are partakers of his flesh and blood, he also himself likewise, what did he do? Took part of the same, that through death he might
destroy.
Are we together here?
Yes.
Should I stop this?
No.
We need to understand this. What did the Lord do?
Destroy.
Through his death, what did he do? He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So the devil has been what?
Destroyed.
If the devil has been destroyed, why are you afraid of him? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to you. You know yourself. Why are you afraid of the devil? Have you ever destroyed a roach before? Jesus destroyed he who had the power of
death.
Look at me. I want you to enter into your subconscious. That's why I'm being slow. I can move on, but I want you to be ingrained in your subconscious, because this year he would want to try you. There is the evil day. But the evil day should not come to meet you preparing. It's not in the evil day you want to now know. No authority has been given. No. No. I want you to prepare your ballistic missiles. Prepare your weapons. And wait for him to come. Say, come.
Come.
So when the evil day comes, you blow him into oblivion.
That's right.
And then when the evil day is not coming your way, you go and look for the devil and kick him out.
Yes.
What is evangelism? It is looking for spirit-infested minds and kicking them out and planting heaven there. That's evangelism. When you go to preach the gospel, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You are like, you are saying in the spirit, devil, I've noticed you are in this mind, bringing this mind confusion, making this mind depressed, in despair, purposeless, meaningless. Because people tell you, well, there's no God. If there is no God, that means life is meaningless, right? So they can kill themselves. They can make a mess of their lives. There's no God. You say, devil, I notice you're here. So I've come to send you packing. You are on an illegal ground. This life has been paid for, ransomed by the blood of Jesus. And I'm asking you now, as the Ghostbuster, to get out. Make sense?
Yes.
So when the devil knocks on your door, what do? Blow him up. I'm not trying to hype you. I hope you're saying this.
Yes.
What did Jesus do? He destroyed. The word therefore destroyed means to strip of power. The devil has tricks. He doesn't have power. Brother Tulu's testimony the other day. One small word ended that whole drama. One small word. Call upon me. People have had that and they didn't survive. Hello? So when you're around someone and a person says, oh, I have headache, what should you do? He has given you his name. What do you do? You send the devil packing.
Yes.
I'm saying this because this year, the Lord will use you mightily to heal sick people.
Amen.
You will lose count of how many sick people
amen.
You have healed.
Amen.
You're not saying amen like
amen.
You.
Amen.
If you have had a family member that was sick before, you know what I'm talking about. Your whole life comes to a standstill. Your whole life comes to a standstill. You can't do anything. You can't think straight. God has put you here for such a time as this, to end that nonsense.
Amen.
This year we will see more cancer patients healed.
Amen.
We'll see tumors disappearing.
Amen.
We'll see the blind see.
Amen.
The deaf hear.
Amen.
The lame walk.
Amen.
I'm not saying amen like you understand.
Amen.
The devil has been
destroyed.
So, good news. You don't have to spend all night saying every disaster fashioned against me backfire. There's a song like that we used to sing in Nigeria. You don't have to do that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil has been disarmed. Yeah. He has been disarmed. Colossians 2 from verse 15. The word for disarmed there means to strip naked. To remove a robe. Colossians 2:15. What did Jesus do here? Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Say with me, when Jesus died,
was buried,
and rose up again,
on the third day,
according to scriptures,
he spoiled the devil.
Spoil is a term used for warfare. It means to strip of every good thing. To strip of every weapon. To strip of every ability, every authority. To put off a garment. Jesus stripped the devil. That's your adversary. What is your adversary? Can be resisted. He can run.
Yes.
No authority.
Yes.
Stripped of power.
Yes.
Disarmed. His works have been destroyed. His works have been destroyed. Mark 16 from verse 17. I'm saying all of this because it's very important. Mark 16 from verse 17. 1 John 3 from verse 8. Can we all read together the scripture? One, two, go.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
That's your superpower.
Amen.
Say with me, these signs
shall follow me
because I believe
in
the name of Jesus,
in
the authority of Jesus,
by
the accomplishments of Jesus,
I will cast out devils.
What does it mean to cast out? So it's my ministry.
To cast out devils
from the minds of men.
It's my ministry
to end the tyranny
of the evil one.
It's my ministry
to ensure
that the light
of the glorious gospel
brings deliverance,
brings freedom
to the world.
No depression where I am.
No depression where I am.
No suicide where I am.
No suicide where I am.
No hopelessness where I am.
No hopelessness where I am.
Let that sink in.
So 2020, nobody should come here and say I was depressed. Hello? The devil has been stripped of power, disarmed, his works have been destroyed. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. The devil is not omnipotent. The devil is not omnipotent. The devil is not all powerful. Tell your neighbor, the devil is not all powerful.
The devil is not all powerful.
Only God is all powerful. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is looking for whom he may devour. He cannot devour everybody. Some people are undevourable. Some people are unkillable. He can't devour everybody. He cannot devour you. Does that make sense to you, brother? The one at the very last. Makes sense to you. So he cannot devour you. He cannot touch you. He's looking for whom he may devour. So he's not even omniscient too. He doesn't know who yet. So if he sees you with the armor of the Lord, he takes off. Your job, just like the devil is looking for whom he may devour, your job is to make everyone on earth undevourable. Say,
it's my job.
To make everyone,
within my reach,
undevourable.
Undevourable.
Where Bunky was buried, I think yesterday. You know his wish? To populate heaven and depopulate hell. What a wish. What a wish. To stand by the gates of hell and redirect people to heaven. Not many people are going to hell. Blindly. Without hope. In despair. They look good. They dress nice, but they are confused, frustrated, meaningless, hopeless, in despair. You come across them every day. In your work, in your class, in your apartment. Hi. Your job is to stand at the gates of hell and redirect people to heaven. That's spiritual warfare. So evangelism is spiritual warfare. If you believe this, it won't be hard for you to win souls. When they call you from Nigeria, hey, pray, pray, pray. This is happening. What do you do? Remember who your adversary is. Remember who your God is. The Bible says he's looking for whom he may devour. He's searching. So it means he has to be at a place at a time. So the devil is not omnipresent. Hello? You know, in Nigeria, we have so exhorted him to think that the devil is omnipotent, omniscient. He can know what you're thinking. He doesn't know what you're thinking.
That's right.
He didn't know when they were pregnant with Jesus. He didn't know who. Hello? Some of you think when you get maybe a new job or a contract, you start thinking, devil now. Devil will now attack now. No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. How did he know that the king was born? He didn't know through the stars. It was until they told Herod. So if Herod was not informed, nothing would have happened. Hello?
Hi.
Did he know when they told Joseph to take Jesus to Egypt?
No.
We do not have permission to turn our backs. But we have permission to be invisible. You can't be invisible. Jesus, the baby Jesus, was invisible. That means the voice of God to you is one step ahead of the knowledge of the devil. Hello, sir. For the assignment God has given to you, that voice he speaks into your heart is ahead. The devil is not aware. We are aware of his crafts and his device. He's not aware of ours. Say the devil. He's not aware of what is about to hit him. So in spiritual warfare, you can disappear and be at his back and give him a knock. He didn't know that the Messiah would be crucified. If he had known, he would not have crucified him, and you would have remained in your sins. Rather, the Lord used him as the vehicle. How did God give you a better job, man? He used the devil as the vehicle. People ganged up against you at your workplace and they told you, oh, you have to go. You have to leave. We don't want you here. And you left. And what happened? You left with your CPA certification and you got a better one. Tell someone like you mean it. You cannot be disadvantaged.
You cannot be disadvantaged.
So if you're carrying a baby, you're carrying a baby to the full term. Ah, you didn't understand. If you're carrying a baby, you're carrying your baby to the full term. It doesn't know anything. It doesn't know much. He's not omniscient. He's judged and cast out. John 12:31. I'll just go on. He has a kingdom, but you're not in it. Colossians 1 from verse 13. He needs an opportunity. Ephesians 4 from verse 27. This is very important. Please pay attention to this. He needs an opportunity. Ephesians 4, 27. Ephesians 4, 27. Man is the devil's informant. Neither give what? Place to the devil. The word there means don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give the devil a room. Don't give the devil a lodging place. Don't give the devil a foothold. Something he can hold on to. Don't open the door to the devil. He needs an opportunity. So you can determine in your life, like Solomon said, the Lord has given me rest on every side and there is no adversary. The word there for adversary is devil. You can determine in your life to give the devil no room. He wants something to hold on to. Your doubts. Your worries. Lies. Lies spread through movies. Lies spread through songs. Lies. Give no room to the devil. If you don't give the devil a room in your life, guess what? He will not have any. So the devil needs you to give him license to destroy you. The devil needs you to give him license to make a mess of you. If somebody walks up to you and says, permission to slap you, sir. What would you say? Every opportunity to doubt is the devil's opportunity. So when something happens to you, maybe someone disappoints you, and you are about to be thrown into worry, think of the devil. See, I would have worried, but because of you. You know, in primary school, we used to look for trouble. And there are times you will do something to someone, and then they call you to the staff room, and they flog you. You would have cried. Well, because the person is there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So when something happens that wants to make you worried, I would have been worried, but because of the devil, I want to show him he's not enough. He's not big enough. You shut the door, but you go to God. Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. And that's the end of worry. So you channel your pain to God, and then your pain now becomes a closed door for the enemy. A little child was wounded. And when anybody comes to the house to visit the child will open the wound and say, see how deep it is. Open the bandages, see how deep it is. Every single time. If you're always opening your wound, how are you going to get healed? Somebody hurts you here. Say, look at how he hurt me. Look at how he hurt me. Look at how he hurt me. Look at, you are giving the devil a room. You're not going to get healed. You're not going to get healed. He needs an open door. He needs a chance. He's telling you, give me a chance. Give me a chance. Give me a chance. You will give him no chance.
Amen.
So what does he do right now? He goes through movies. You watch hours and hours of lies and all kinds of filthy thoughts are infested in your mind. And they now start detecting how you think and how you see life. One of the guys that committed suicide many years ago, it was discovered he was watching a whole series on how to commit suicide. A whole series. A whole series. Lies infested through legal movies. Who told you that because you are 28, 32, you're too late to marry? Where did you learn it from? Did God ever sit you down one day to tell you that? Where did you learn it from? Who told you? Who told you that because you are, who told you that big people, something is wrong with them? Did God say that to you? I'm saying this is prophetic. There are believers who are not happy with how they look. Who told you that? Who told you that you are not smart? Failing mathematics is not a proof. Who told you? It was Einstein that said, if you give a fish a tree to climb, it will think it's foolish. Give a monkey an ocean to swim. The monkey will think it's foolish. Who told you that because you failed chemistry, nothing good can come out of you? Where did you learn it from? Give the devil no place. He needs an opportunity. If you're going to a train, many years ago, there's someone who will stand in his jacket and many things. You need biscuits, cake, shoes, knives, Spoons, you say no. You keep saying it to find out the one that resonates with you. So you can make transactions. He will come to you first and say, steal? Steal doesn't make sense. Lie? Doesn't make sense. Okay, you're useless. He's like this, waiting to see your response. Ah, I got him. That's the point. He said, ah, your past. You have done many evil things. Abortion. Abortion. Then he waits to see your response. Give the devil no place. See, abortion, yes, but it was paid in full. Jesus paid in full. But devil, come, are you righteous? No, you call the devil and ask him, are you righteous? You see, my own was paid for. Yours will never be paid for. Guess what? God has prepared a place for you. A special place called the lake of fire. Have you ever heard of the lake of fire before, devil? Let me show you your destiny. It's warfare. There are thoughts flying here. Thoughts. Many thoughts. He's asking you, is it cake? Is it stealing? Is it pornography? Is it masturbation? Abortion? All that. He's guessing to see the one you will resonate with. Shut the door on his face. He said, but you failed yesterday. You did something nobody knows. People are looking at your fine face. They don't know what you are made of. You don't know how deep your heart is. The blood covered it. I can't pay twice. Sorry. It's been paid for. Say about your past. Say, go and ask Jesus. I'm showing you how practically to use the shield of faith. Which leads us, I couldn't tell you more about the adversary. To the shield of faith. The shield of faith in the Roman world could cover the entire the soldier. The shield of faith could cover you from head to toe. So, with that shield of faith, you're able to quench how many? All the fiery darts. So there are fiery darts that will come. Fiery darts. Missiles. That will shoot into your heart. You are a stubborn child. Fiery darts. Look at your life. Look at your mates. Your mates. Have you ever opened your Bible to do exegesis on that statement? See, I've read the entire Bible. I cannot find where it says, look at your mates. Your mates are driving cars. Your mates are preaching. Your mates are winning thousands of souls to the Lord. You can't even raise a song. Raise your shield of faith. Because in comparing yourself with yourself, you are not
wise.
So until the devil gets you to be foolish, he cannot defeat you. Hello? The devil cannot defeat a wise believer. Thou, through your law, has made me wiser than my
teachers.
There's enemies. There's teachers as well. So you're right. Than my enemies. He shoots those fiery darts to your heart. Ah, you have just one brother. What if your brother is going one day, an accident happens, and he dies? What if he's looking for a place to hit you? Say, oh, the devil. You don't have, the last time I checked, you don't have the power. He's not dying. He said, but he's not born again. But I am. I'm giving you some practical things that you need to do. The shield of faith, that faith is not your faith. Hello? It's the armor of... Hello? It's the armor of what? God. That faith is the faith of the Son of God. You need the faith of the Son of God, like Gratulu says, to live in the realm of contradiction. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is the faith of the Son of God? It is his love manifested in his sacrifice. The faith of the Son of God is what? Love manifested in his sacrifice. Who loved me and gave himself up for me. He gave himself up for me so that I can now live by his life. You take the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God is more than the Hebrews 11 faith. It's the Hebrews 12 faith. In Galatians 3, it's the faith that appeared. You know, Abraham had faith, and by faith had a lot of exploits, but he didn't get to the promise. Hello? They obtained good reports, but the obtaining of good reports was not the purpose of their faith. They were looking for something. They were looking for the seed of the woman. They were looking for the resurrection. They were looking for Christ. In the search for Christ, they were able to take every adversary that came their way. The purpose of their faith was not to have children, although faith gave them children. The purpose of their faith was not to have their dead back to life, although faith gave that to them. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. But verse 39, they did not enter into the promise. They were waiting for you. You have something better. It is Christ himself. So faith is the appropriation of Christ as all things. Christ as your food. Christ as your water, Christ as your provider, Christ as your sufficiency, Christ as your protection, Christ as your life. That's faith. Faith is learning to colonize the earth with the realities of your union with God. By hope, the Old Testament elders were able to do exploits. Hoping in this reality. So there was a goal there. They wanted to get to that end. That is where you are right now. They wanted to get there, but there were obstacles. By the vision of that, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, they were able to crush everything on their way. Even though they never got there. That place is Christ. Christ is now your faith. So faith is not the means by which you bring your situations to God. Faith is the means by which you bring God to your situations. Hello? So what do? You take the faith of the Son of God to that situation. Expose that situation to the revelation of the wealth available in Jesus. By the time you are done, you will not have a mountain standing before you. The shield of faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. To live by the faith of the Son of God is to appropriate the relationship God has with Jesus as yours. Hello? Did you get that? Okay, I'll repeat that. To live by the faith of the Son of God is to appropriate the relationship God has with Jesus as yours. That is why you are the righteousness of God in
Christ Jesus.
So God treats you as, hello? As who?
Jesus.
Is Jesus prayerless?
No.
That's your reality. So you take everything available in Jesus and you say, it is mine. Because you are in him. There are only two men in the world. There's the first man and there's the last man. Romans 5. By the first man, sin entered the world. All in the first man are born sinners. By the last man, we gained righteousness. The first man is governed by death. The last man is arisen by the resurrection. In the first man, you inherited death. Why are people all, why is the world the way it is? It's because of the first man. You are now in the last man. So your health, the health of your countenance, cannot be traced to the first man. The first man is separated from God. The last man, the second man, Christ himself, is one with God. And you in him. So whatever reality is not present in Jesus cannot be acknowledged as yours. So it's illegal to say, I am prayerless. I'm saying that we can hit you. Because it's not true of you. The devil can tell you, you are prayerless. But it's not the truth of you. It's not what is true of you. What is the truth? The truth is that you are prayer.
Amen.
He says, my house shall be called a house of
prayer.
That's who you are. I am saying this because there are people here who think, I don't have a prayer life. 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 I don't know how to pray. I don't know. It's a lie. You are not in the first man. You are in the last man. And that last man is full of prayer. So when you acknowledge, I am a house of prayer, Jesus is prayerful in me. Jesus is prayerful in me. By the time you say that up to the seventh time, you will burst out in prayers. 24/7, you'll be in touch with the throne. Can you imagine Jesus addicted to pornography, to masturbation? Hello? Talk to me. Come on. Then it's not true of you. It's not true of you. What is true of you is what Christ is in you.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
He said, but I know I can see myself addicted. It's a lie. God did not make any new man addicted. So what is God's reality? What is truth? Truth is God's reality. What is a lie? A lie is not what is factual or what is not factual. It's what is not God's reality. So it may be factual that there are addictions in your life. But that's not God's reality. So what do? You take the faith of the Son of God and you declare all that he is in you. For it is he that walks in you, both to what? Will and to do of his good pleasure. Say, I'm not prayerless.
I'm not prayerless.
Jesus in me
is prayerful.
That's what Paul meant by, it is Christ now living in me. Christ cannot die at the devil's timing. That's what he is in you now. Take the shield of
faith,
by which you may quench all, not some, all. So all of the devil's weapon can be answered with just this one posture. The shield of faith. And then take the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6. You can go there so you can read from there. The helmet of salvation. From verse 17, 18. Yes, thank you. Take the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet used for? To protect the brain, the head, from blows. In a war, and in the kind of war we're talking about here, it's very lethal if something hits your head. It's to prevent brain damage. And you know, as the brain goes, so goes the body. The helmet of salvation is to protect your mind. As the mind goes, so the person. So what do? You take the helmet of salvation. The word therefore salvation means a person who is the embodiment of deliverance. You take Jesus and you saturate your mind with him. You saturate your mind with the reality of his saving power. If you don't do that, your mind will be messed up. To take the helmet of salvation is to protect yourself from the gross misrepresentation of God's character. That's very important. To protect your mind from the gross misrepresentation of God's character. Because if the devil cannot misrepresent God to you, he can't get you to sin. Did God really say? After all, some people say the Bible says heaven help those who help themselves. One of my aunties went to the burial and fought, and they were asking her, "Deaconess, why are you fighting?" Said, "The Bible says fight a good fight." A gross misrepresentation of God's character. So God is not here now to help you, just steal. Well, you see, none of your relationships are lasting because the men want sex before marriage. Why not give it to them? After all, God is holding back on you. Gross misrepresentation of God's character. Well, don't pray anymore. The cancer was given to you by God. After all, God allowed it. Gross misrepresentation of God's character. You need to know who he is. If you don't have the helmet of salvation on, you will treat God as the devil and worship the devil as God. Mm-hmm. You will treat God as the devil and worship the devil as God. Right from the Garden of Eden, you would see it's not possible for the devil to get you to cooperate with him except he paints God in a bad light. It's not possible. That's why every sin is sponsored by a lie. Every sin is sponsored by a lie. Why do people lie? Because they believe if they don't lie, they will not be accepted. That's a lie. It takes a lie to sponsor a sin. So you enrich your mind with the realities of the knowledge of Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, knowing God is not optional. If you are to be normal in this world, you must know the character of your Father. Second Peter 3 from verse 18. Peter speaking, showing us how to be mature, how to grow. Says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth is growing in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. The word there actually is not "and in the knowledge." If you read that, you think grace and knowledge are two different things. No. Grow in grace, that is the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So how do you grow in grace? You grow in grace through the knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you can be in the faith for 10 years and be immature. The depths of your knowledge of Christ is the boundary for your maturity. You can't mature beyond that. There is no back door to maturity. Maturity does not come by diffusion. See, if I stay long, the maturity from Brother Tolu will diffuse. I enter into me. No. To be mature is to grow in grace. To grow in grace is to grow in the knowledge of Jesus as the Savior. Not in the knowledge of yourself. In secular words, it will tell you to grow, to be mature, you need to know yourself. If you don't know Jesus, you can't know yourself. If you don't know Jesus, you can't know God. He is the explanation of God. He is the exegesis of God. He is the comprehensive revelation of God. If you don't know him, you cannot know your adversary as exposed. So the more I give my mind to knowing him, is the more I grow. So telling you more grace, sir, more grace, man, does not give you grace. Man of God, more grace. You need more grace? Grow in the knowledge. This year, what do? Give yourself wholeheartedly to knowing Jesus. That's how you grow. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the what? You know him and grace is multiplied. You know him and peace is multiplied. You can't have peace and depression at the same time. When peace takes over a man's heart, he has two options: to sleep in the storm or to rebuke the storm. I'll say it again. Think about that. When peace takes over your heart, you have two options: to sleep in the storm. That means the storm cannot hurt you. can kill you. You huff and you puff and you go home. Or you get up and say, I don't want noise. Storm. Peace be still. Sleeping in the storm or rebuking the storm have the same effect. Grace and peace be multiplied. What if you want grace to be multiplied? What if you want peace to be multiplied? Get the knowledge of the Son of God. Know Him. Know what He came to do on the earth as man. A Savior who is able to save you to the uttermost. Know Him. Fill your mind with this reality. He is the essence of the scriptures. I don't want to go there and show you some things. The whole of the scriptures were written for His revelation. You search the scriptures, for you think in them you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. Not Matthew, because when he said that, it was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It was Genesis to Malachi. So you don't read Genesis to get a book of Bible stories. This year, 2020, when you read Genesis, it's to see Jesus. When you read Exodus, it's not to show you the Levitical order, the beginning of the... No! It's to reveal the person, Jesus. Leviticus reveals Jesus. Numbers reveals Jesus. Deuteronomy reveals
Jesus.
So you don't go there to look for a story. You say, that's how the story of Moses is, that he was thrown in the river, and then somebody saw him in the river, and they took him to the palace, and then when he grew up, he killed someone and ran away. You should see Jesus. Moses himself, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, he suffered for the reproach. He chose to enjoy the reproach of Christ. More than the treasures of Egypt. These guys were seeing Jesus. That's the purpose of the scriptures. So how do you know you have read the Bible? When you see Jesus. How that from your childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. What were the scriptures that Timothy knew from infancy? Genesis to Malachi. This year, the scriptures will open up to you.
Amen.
You will see Him as He is.
Amen.
And you will see Him as He sees you in Him.
Amen.
The helmet of salvation. It is this helmet that keeps the devil perpetually out of your garden, the garden of your mind. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The glory of the believer only comes to the extent that his mind is renewed. The butterfly, the caterpillar. Some of you, when you look at your life, it's like the caterpillar. But that caterpillar has a glory. Yeah. It's the butterfly. What do? You go into your cocoon.
Right.
And you begin to see Jesus. As you see Him, you grow wings. As you see Him, you fly. As you see Him, you become colorful. Maybe in the past you were saying you have to pray 50 times for someone who is sick, for the person to recover. It will get to a point, the more you see Him, all you need to do is just to walk past the person. That's the reality. Grow. 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 And then take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There are several words used for the Word of God. There is the Logos, there is the Graphe, which has to do with the written word. The Logos is Jesus, the message of God. In the beginning was the Word, the original thought of God, the intent of God. But the word used here is Rhema. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Bucky says something very significant. The Word of God in your mouth is as powerful as the Word of God in God's mouth. Write it down. You will need it. Look at your neighbor very boldly. Very, very boldly. Very, very boldly. And say, the Word of God
in your mouth
is as powerful
as the Word of God
in God's mouth. That's your sword. When you think about this sword, you think it's one long sword. It's not. It's the Makaira. Makaira. That's the word. It's a Roman kind of sword that is very short. Very short, but two-edged. It's the deadliest sword. The sword is used to kill only. It's used to slay the enemy, the adversary. You give them that sword, they fall under the anointing. The Makaira. Other swords, when you hit the enemy with them, they still fight. When the Makaira goes into the adversary, they don't get up again. It's meant to give a permanent blow. You are closer to the adversary there. You don't use the sword when you are far from the adversary. Use the sword when you are very close. You can smell the breath of the adversary. You can smell your breath too. You smile and take the sword from the belt of fruit. Straight death. Straight. The Word of God is that powerful. You have complained too long. You have grumbled too long. You have quarreled with people too long. This year, for your days to be as the days of heaven, your words must be the words of God. The devil tempted Jesus, and what did he do? He gave the word. And the Bible says the devil left him for a more opportune time. See, this season, this guy is a no-go area. The devil left Jesus for a season. You know what that means? A season without the devil. Hello? That's a victory you and I can enjoy in Christ.
Yeah.
Devil-less seasons. Took him the word. Put the word of God in your mouth and speak it. Because that word is the character of God. All the authority of the Lord is vested in his word. Put the word in your mouth. Speak it. He whispers to you, hey, you may not see the end of the year. Look at Miriam. Miriam was your age. She didn't do this, she didn't do that. And then she finally died. She died not having any promise. She died doing this. Enough. The word. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with the word. Not just with any word. With the word. So you position like your father. And you talk like your father. Is it troubling your mind? Position like your father. Take his word. It's not yours. take it and apply it. Does it make sense to you? The word of God must be in your mouth. Tell your neighbor, say, get the word in your mouth. And I believe that's why Paul was talking to us, and he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3, I think from verse 16. That you may admonish one another in all wisdom. Colossians 3, 16. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You fill your heart with the word of God. You will speak it. You will sing it. You will talk it. In fact, it will ooze out of you. That's how we drink. That's how we drink. That's why we are drunks. Overwhelmed by God's word. You're so overwhelmed by God's word. And you see someone coming, like Brother Salah will come in. You're laughing. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we rejoice. And we are glad in it. We're talking to each other with the scriptures. There's no room for gossip there. So have you seen Sister Lillian's hair? I think she's going into the word. I saw a line of purple in the air. You don't have time for that when you are communicating spiritual things. How do you kill gossip? The scriptures. I've made up my mind. You come to me with someone's topic, I will quote the scriptures to you. It's not you I'm talking to. Maybe peradventure, you may have given room for the devil to speak. I need him to know that I'm sensitive. Where there is strife and quarreling, there exists every evil thing. Imagine somebody come to you with gossip and you quote that scripture and give it to the person. The gossip will fly out of the window. Why do we gossip? Why do people gossip? Emptiness. Lack of content. Why do blogs carry news fast? They need content. Gossiping is the proof that you're becoming empty. It's the truth. You're not full of God. You're not full of God and speaking things about the people he has ordained for a glorious destiny. No. When we meet, and we even mention someone's name, we talk in the light of the prophetic destiny of that person. And then we begin to analyze, and light is coming. And we say, oh, I think Sister Busola is in this area. I think this is what the Lord wants her to do in the city. And we begin to even now pray for her and prophesy into her life as warfare men. A church where you have quarreling, strife, is a proof of emptiness. You're not being fed. Get the word of God in your mouth. Arm yourself to the teeth. Jesus has tasted death for me. That's the word of God. He tasted death for me. I will not taste it. I will not go to the grave. I'm talking about physically. Even physically. I don't have to. Say, marriage. What if there's a divorce? After 13 years of marriage, people still divorce. What if you get the word of God? As the husband, I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. As the wife, I honor my husband as the church honors Christ. Case dismissed. And then we'll go to the last one, prayer. It says, praying always. While you put on the helmet of salvation, you're praying. With the breastplate, you're already praying. Prayer is the vehicle by which we ingrain the consciousness of Christ into our consciousness. The wealth of Christ into us. How do you put on the armor? Prayer. How do you take the power of God for yours? Prayer. Prayer. Tell me one thing Jesus did recorded in the scriptures without prayer. He was going to choose his disciples. What did he do? He went to pray. After choosing them, working miracles, signs, and wonders, he went to pray. Prayer is a throne room conversation. Prayer is not talking to a God far away. No. Prayer is talking to the Lord who is one with you. Who is closer to you than your very breath. That's prayer. Prayer is the way we breathe in this kingdom. If you don't pray, you cannot be faithful. You can't be faithful. If you don't pray, you won't have direction. The church, they went to pray. And the Spirit of God spoke and said, "Separate unto me." Direction comes in the place of prayer. Who needs direction here? You have the answer. Go to prayer. Spend time praying. This is not Father, Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Father. I thank you for today. I thank you for my mother and my father. I thank you that I have food to eat. Bless me in Jesus' name. Amen. No, no. This is a conversation between a responsible God and a responsible child. Prayer is the means by which we take our assignment to the Lord and say, what do we do? What's the plan to take over Winnipeg? What's the plan? Show us. Father, there is someone here. I have discovered he's not born again. I want that person in our kingdom. What do we do? And then he shows you. And then he shows you. That's prayer. That's prayer. If you look at the apostolic prayers, the prayers prayed by Apostle Paul, Peter, and all of that, you would see the importance. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17, you see that there. Without prayer, the eyes of your understanding cannot be enlightened. Colossians 1 from verse 9 to 11, you see that there. Without prayer, you cannot be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Philippians 1 from verse 9 to 11. Without prayer, your love will not abound in knowledge and discernment. Ephesians 3 from verse 16 to 19, you see that there too. The means by which we minister to ourselves, we build ourselves, is prayer. Jude 20, you see that there too. But beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you build up? To build up is to grow into an edifice, to ascend. The vehicle of ascension is prayer. Prayer gives you a privileged view of things. If I'm here, there's something I would not see that someone in a watch tower will see. A privileged view of things. Prayer heightens your spiritual intelligence. Prayer makes you invisible. Prayer gives you a headway in contrary circumstances. Book of Acts, Peter was arrested. What did the church do? Contrary circumstances. It was a matter of life and death. James was killed. They prayed until Peter was released. Peter was released. They didn't believe he was released. Rhoda went to the door and came back. Didn't open the door. Say, it's Peter. And they said, thou art mad. But they went back to check. A mind-boggling headway. Is there anyone here who has a circumstance before you right now that is contrary? Contrary circumstances. Looks impossible. Our means by which we create headway is prayer. Is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. You are afflicted, what do? You don't complain, you don't cry, you don't weep, you pray. So the more I pray, the more I am built up. The more I pray, the more I grow in wisdom, in understanding, established in the will of God. Prayer. Epaphras labors fervently within you or among you, that you may be complete and perfect in all the will of God. It doesn't come by default. Knowledge of the will of God does not come by default. It comes through prayer. Rise to your feet, please. You know, prayer gives you healthy eyes. Eyes that see the Spirit. If you're not prayerful, you may sleep a sleep of death. Prayer. 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 Come on, just speak to him. Prayer. Prayer. It says to pray without ceasing. That means to pray as often as you breathe. Prayer is your very breath. It's a vehicle by which the enemy cannot see you. They can't understand your next move. Prayer. Prayer, 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 prayer. 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 Let the spirit of prayer fill this room. Ability to pray. Ability to pray. Ability to pray. You would wake up praying 3 a.m., 4 a.m. You wake up praying. You pray the mind of God. You pray the purpose of God. In the place of prayer, you stop adversaries. You cancel evil operations. You cause life to flow. Come on, just pray, just pray, just pray. Just pray. The spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer.